Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Prayer. I wonder what reaction that word produces within you. How do you feel when I say it? Delighted? Relaxed? Stressed? Guilty? Panicked? Confused? Comforted? Distracted? Bored? Enthused? Excited? Strengthened? Any number of the above perhaps, or combinations of them. The truth is, I suspect, that prayer is something we all know that we should be doing, but none of us are doing as much as we should. And there's all manner of reasons for that. Doubts if God is really there. Doubts if he cares enough to bother with our feeble prayers. Questions about whether he can answer. And even if he can, whether he will. Not knowing what to pray for, or feeling we don't know how to pray. Past disappointments and discouragements. Struggling to find the time. My prayer is that over these next few weeks we can try to deal with some of these. That we can reconnect with the God who loves to hear us speak to him, who cares deeply about what we say, and who has both the power and the desire to answer our prayers. We begin this morning with a key passage when it comes to prayer. The most central of Jesus' teachings on the subject. Well known, perhaps too well known. This is how you should pray, says Jesus, and it's introduced in many of the liturgies of the world with words like, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Many of you will have heard talks on the Lord's Prayer or read books that emphasise the role that this prayer plays in helping us to keep a broad focus and to expand what we pray for, rather than just coming with a shopping list of our requests based on our own immediate needs or the needs of those around us. It broadens and lifts our horizons. And so instead of jumping straight into talking to God about Ethel's gammy leg or Bert the bully at work or whatever it might be, the Lord's Prayer encourages us to be thankful, to seek forgiveness, to have a global perspective in our prayer, to pray for things that God wants, his will, rather than just what we want. But if we're not careful, that can just become an expansion to our shopping list. So, as well as praying for those immediate situations on our mind, we add to our list the needs of others in the world. We remember to say sorry for our sins. We ask God to be with us and to help us to live better. And it's still all very us-focused. It's what we want. Even the prayers that God's will be done are often framed in the context of his will be done in the situations that concern us, that we would pray about anyway. It can still very much be a shopping list. Become a checklist of petitions, which is not in and of itself invaluable, don't get me wrong. I remember not long after I arrived in Beverley doing an all-age service at Swinemore School in which we looked at this prayer in six sections, and I encouraged us to ensure that our prayers included all six, and I stand by that. It's helpful. But there's much more here. Because there's more here, not just about what we pray for, but the attitude in which we approach prayer. And that's where I want us to go this morning. I want us to think about what prayer is, rather than just what we pray for. And as we do that, I hope as we begin to understand more of what prayer is, of what's going on as we pray, that can begin to move us beyond prayer as a list which we work through and into something much more dynamic and liberating. I'm only going to say two things this morning, two points from the Lord's Prayer about what prayer is. I could add many more. There were originally 3 points to this talk, but that just made it far too long. And we've got a whole series coming up on prayer in which to say what needs to be said. So just two this morning. The first is this: prayer isn't about us. We are the ones praying, yes. We are encouraged to pray, even commanded to pray. But prayer isn't about us. Prayer is about God. Our Father in the heavens, we begin. A reminder that the one we are speaking to is in a different plane, a different dimension. Right as we begin to pray, we lift ourselves out of this world and its concerns into the world of the divine. Now, the things that we pray for, that we wish to pray for, that we go on to pray for, may actually be the same things. But immediately this gives us a different perspective. We're not to view them from where we are, from our limited view, limited in time, limited in space, limited in possibility. Rather, we approach and seek to take on the perspective of the one who is above, who looks down, for lack of a better way of explaining in human language, because it's not that God is physically up there. But God, who is in a sense outside of time and space, sees the whole of human history simultaneously and acts according to that much bigger picture. The God who views all of this as a loving Father, looking in love on all that he has made and acting towards us in accordance with that love. Yes, he's above, but he's not distant. He's connected. He's in the heavens and yet now attentive to all that happens on this earth, to all that is done on this earth, including our prayers. And so his ways are not our ways. When we don't understand what is going on, he is seeing things in a different way. And as we begin to grasp this, then we are truly enabled to begin to pray. And as we go on from that, it's still all about God. Your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Our prayer is concerned with God, his status, his will, with a desire that things on this earth be ordered as he would wish them to be, that the kingdom of God, which exists perfectly, eternally in his presence, would spill over and be present, be visibly present on this earth. The liturgical ending to the prayer, which isn't in the original, but we say it as we say the Lord's Prayer usually, picks that up too. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever yours, thine in the old language. So prayer is about God, God's will, what he desires to be done, his kingdom. Which perhaps raises the question, why? Because when we stop and think about it, that doesn't actually quite seem to make sense, perhaps. We come in prayer to the God who is all-knowing, who is ever-present, who is all-powerful, and we ask him to do things his way. Well, surely he will. He's so far beyond our imagining, he's certainly way beyond our ability to command. Even the suggestion that there's a possibility that things won't be done God's way is surely laughable. For the one who is all-powerful and sovereign, then yes, things will be done his way. And actually, as we look at the language of the Lord's Prayer in the original, that certainty is built into the prayer. We tend to make those early phrases into requests. Some English translations even put it that way. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. But no, that's not what the original says. In the Greek, they're imperative. They're commands. They're statements with purpose and intent. Literally, it's holy be your name. Come your kingdom. Be done your will. As in heaven, so also upon the earth. So why do we waste our breath and half of the Lord's Prayer in asking for that which is surely guaranteed to happen anyway? Well, we do so because, and this is leading on to our second thing about prayer, because prayer is transformational. In prayer, we seek to align ourselves with God's perspective. We affirm that things must be done His way, in accordance with His will, because it's only then that we can pray rightly for ourselves and each other. We can only bring to God those things of the here and now, our situations, our friends and family, our world. We can only pray rightly for those things if we first grasp that there is a bigger picture, an eternal perspective. Putting God first in our prayer transforms our prayer. As we pray, give us today our daily bread. Well, the word translated daily is a bit of a puzzle. It appears nowhere else in any extant Greek literature, except for these two renderings in the Bible of the Lord's Prayer, here in Matthew and also in Luke's Gospel. But looking at the root of the word and where it comes from, it seems to have the connotation of just enough bread for today. Not a surplus, not an abundance, just enough of what we need to live this day. But what we consider to be enough, sufficient, to meet our needs rather than our wants, that will change as we become influenced by what God wants. As our desires become in line with His will, then things that we thought we couldn't live without may not seem so important now. And new things might take their place as the essential necessities to live the life to which God has called us. So rather than praying, in effect, give us today what we feel we need to survive, of course we wouldn't put it that bluntly, but that's what we often end up asking for. Instead, we find ourselves praying, give us today what you know we need in order to fulfill your will and bring your kingdom on earth. And similarly, as we move on, forgive us our debts. The word means, in effect, any obligation towards another, particularly an obligation we have failed to meet. And that takes on new meaning when we stop thinking in terms just of our obligations to each other, though they matter. But we view in the realization of the God who brought creation into being, looking and seeing humanity who cannot begin to pay the obligation of worship and honor and obedience that is demanded by God's status in comparison to us. God who sees that each and every one of us has a debt to Him that is far beyond anything we will ever owe one another, and which we are painfully ill-equipped to begin to fulfill. And so as we pray that forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, in that eternal divine perspective, we are cast anew on God's mercy and God's grace. We're filled with a fresh appreciation of the forgiveness that He offers to each one of us through the death of His Son. That we can be forgiven, even though we don't deserve it, because God is a God who loves us and whose nature is to forgive. And that will transform our relations with others, because we won't be able to truly seek God's forgiveness in this way without becoming aware of others who we have not forgiven. for things that they have done to us or have not done for us. And so we are transformed again by this eternal perspective. And we are stirred and enabled to go out and to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. Or perhaps better, do not bring us to the place of trial and testing. And again, we can so easily pray that with our perspective. Lord, save me from this or that thing which I struggle with. Whether that's a direct temptation to sin or a situation where we know the external factors will test our faith and our obedience. But when we have God at the centre of our prayers, we realise that we are talking to the one who knows the end from the beginning, who has promised us that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, who has promised that he will bring us at the end into his presence, having enabled us to stand. A God who is powerful, a God who sees dimensions beyond what we cannot see. We pray, deliver us from evil, and that. But it's about more than just having bad things happen to us. It is indeed, as the Greek says, and actually our NIV in its modern form picks up, deliver us from the evil one. God who sees the spiritual dimension to our world and to our prayers. And as we see things from his perspective, we realise the place that our prayer plays in that bigger picture of what is going on in our world. So what does all this mean in practice? What does it look like? How do we begin to pray in this God-focused, transformational way? Teaching practically about prayer is one of the most challenging and difficult things to do, I think. Because prayer ultimately is birthed in a relationship, and each of us is unique in how we relate to God. But I just want to offer two practical suggestions, one for each of our points. Firstly, when you come to pray, make the first thing you think about not actually be prayer. Make the first thing you think about be God. In those times when you want to make space to focus on prayer, focus first on God. Maybe listen to some worship music, or read a psalm or another passage from the Bible. Look at a piece of art or a photograph which reminds you of God's greatness and his creativity. Focus on a cross or a candle. But deliberately do not let yourself, as you come to prayer, begin to start thinking about what you want to pray about. By all means, have your prayer list or your prayer diary, but put that to one side for a moment. And just allow yourself to be caught up in whatever it is for you that sets your mind on God. And then from that, begin to verbalise your thoughts focused on God. Out loud or in your head, just begin to speak out who God is, to praise him, to worship him. Allow his nature, his being, his works and his ways to fill your mind and your heart. And then as you begin to move from that into asking for what you want, as you pick up your prayer list, as it were, you will find that it is transformed. Some things on there you will pray about in a different way. Some things that you might have planned to pray about may no longer seem so important. And other things that you hadn't even thought to pray about will suddenly fill your mind. And that's not just something you can do in a formal time of prayer, as it were. Those quick prayers that you offer for a situation that you encounter as you're out and about in daily life, just take a second or two before you launch into asking, just to remind yourself who it is you are praying to. And the second practical suggestion: be open to God transforming you as you pray. Prayer doesn't end when you say Amen. That's the point at which you begin the actions that you have been spurred into by your prayer. And that might not be big things. It may just be a reminder that someone you've prayed about, just to drop them a text or give them a ring. And you might want to break off from your prayer to do that. Or you might find it more helpful to note it down as you go along and to act on it later. But it could be bigger things. As you pray for a situation to change, you realise, actually, there may be something that I can do to help change that situation. Or even, perhaps, sometimes realise that you're part of the problem that needs to be changed. There may be things you need to reflect on, to pray over some more, to talk to others about. There may be someone you need to forgive and to let them know that you've forgiven them, perhaps. Again, note these things down and act upon them. Because this is all part of prayer transforming our lives. Prayer that is focused on God and His will. His will be done through us, in us. Prayer brings our wills in accordance with His. And part of that is pointing out to us those places where we need to change. Over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at more about how we pray in a way that is God-focused and transformational. But I hope this morning has encouraged us to see that prayer is more than we perhaps thought it was. Prayer is not just another thing to get through. It's not an exercise in spiritual discipline, though it is good to be disciplined in prayer. Prayer is not just to comfort ourselves and others, though it can be a great comfort. It's not just an outward expression of our heart's desires, though it certainly is such. But at its heart, prayer is a conscious aligning ourselves with the will of God, with the desires of His kingdom. Coming into the presence of our loving Father, focused on who He is and on what He wills for us and for this world. And as we do so, being open to the transformation which He will bring about in us and through us, as He uses us and our prayers to bring about His kingdom. So I'm going to finish by reading again the Lord's Prayer. As we find it here in Matthew, I'm going to read it slowly to leave space for reflection. And let us use this to focus on God and to allow Him to speak His words of transformation to our hearts. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.